Welcome to the PlayStation 5 Central Podcast. We sit down and discuss everything PlayStation 5. I'm your host, Dan Allen Gaming. I'm joined by Vicarf and Jordan, both the respectable
Rumors.
PlayStation gamers. How are we, guys?
Wow, yeah, we've got a significant downgrade
in our nickname.
Yeah. Obviously, they've both never done a podcast before because they interrupt each other. How are you, Jordan?
I'm feeling a little disheartened after our significant downgrade in our nicknames for the week.
Where's that intro?
You get it when I'm feeling good. If I'm not feeling good, you don't get it. And why I'm not feeling good is this fucking abandoned game. We're going to kick it off with this fucking joke of a thing. I was going to get up at 5 a.m. to play this. Thank God I chose not to. Because people were waiting hours, and then what, we got an update? Oh, sorry, guys. We've got some technical difficulties. Still no word. You can download this app for this game, but you can't play it. They did a small teaser, looked a little bit Silent Hill-like, and then someone sent me something that intrigued me. The PT demo. When was that released? August 12th. What's the day today, guys?
August 12th,
possibly tomorrow. So is that the connection we were looking for there? Very.
Do you know what PT stands for? Postponed to tomorrow.
That's pretty good. You just came up with that. But yeah,
I thought it was playable teaser, but not bad.
Hassan Karaman is Kojima confirmed.
Well,
Hassan Karaman.
So what did you guys think when you woke up this morning? And
I mean, I'm like, I know there are people saying they're fed up with this. This is a train wreck and all that. And I'm like, I think I'm on Jordan. Like, me and Jordan are pretty in agreement. Like, this is so fun. Like,
it's
for a game that's unreleased. Like, I have no stake in this game coming out or not. Like, it's just fun that it's like doing all this. They're teasing us. Like, don't get me wrong. If this is a God of War Ragnarok and they were doing all this, you know, annoying things, like, yeah, I could understand why fans would be annoyed. They're teasing you for no reason. But this is like a PR stunt. It's just a game that's coming out that, like, yeah, the fact that they're teasing you so what? Like, it's for a product that hasn't even come out. Like, I don't know. I'm just enjoying the rumors. It's fun to talk. The rumors. It's fun to talk about. And it's like, yeah, just fun to speculate. And, like, it's just the best. I love conspiracy theories. I love them. So to have it in gaming, I love it.
Yeah. And, like, if it doesn't turn out to be a Kojima game, I'll be like, oh, okay.
Mm.
A game I probably won't play then. Like, it's fine. Like, I feel like the only people who are this invested, personally, I think the only reason you could be this invested is because you think it's a Kojima game. If not, like, what are you invested about?
Or a Silent Hill game.
Why are you so pissed off about
those fans?
All four of them.
Like, I'm like 100%.
There's a bit more than that, but yeah, go on.
99% sure this is a Kojima. Like, this... It just has to be at this stage, but I can understand. Okay, people be annoyed if, you know, it doesn't turn out to be Kojima and it was all a lie, but they're not lying. Like, the product hasn't come out yet. So if they false advertise, that's one thing, but this is just teasing and developing hype. I'm like, any publicity is good publicity.
False advertising would be if they came out and said, this game is directed by Hideo Kojima. It's going to be the next Silent Hill game, which they haven't done.
Kojima is an absolute legend. I just got to say, but he's been working on the Death Stranding like trailer, which maybe that's a.
And don't forget, he makes
so funny the way he tweets, man. He's
just
like,
ask him. He makes really good trailers.
I think this trailer ended up being about 8 to 9 minutes long while I was editing it. It gets longer after the title comes out. It's just hilarious. Like, he makes a 9-minute trailer. He had to condense it to 5
minutes.
Did you
see his tweet the other day where he was patting himself on the back for how good a trailer he makes?
Yeah, that's what I mean. This guy's a legend, man. And I know it's a bit lost in translation because the words don't quite make sense, but it's so good. I love this guy, man. And he does make a good trailer, man. The Death Stranding 7-minute trailer was phenomenal. I've watched
MGS5 Red Band trailer was phenomenal.
That was great. And he edited it. Isn't that cool that a head of studio goes ahead and edits? That's what Jeff Keighley does too. Maybe that's how they got in.
Do you know who my favorite game director is?
Who?
Hideo Kojima.
Hasan Karama. Oh, and I think he's going to bring out a masterpiece tomorrow when this game comes out.
Right. And can you tell me, how do you think he's a master? What's his track record, man?
Well,
talking about his other work.
Just looking at the articles, and one of my favorite articles is "Abandoned director posts video to prove he's a real person." And it's just like, guys, I'm not an actor. I just love this. I love it. I love this. This is my reality TV. This is what I feed off. I love this.
What if he is an actor? Will that account just go missing?
No, because someone would have found his like acting agent. Like, you know, it's the internet. Someone would have found a movie role he was in, or like his agency that's advertising for him. I reckon this is like a dev or like someone in staff that they're just making this figurehead just so no one can trace it back.
I've also got the best tweet I've ever seen. This is actually my favorite tweet ever.
And Kojima.
I don't know if it's just because it's Kojima. Yeah. So he's tweeted out a poster of the Suicide Squad poster. Yeah, you didn't think it was going to go there. And it's got King Shark on it. The caption is this the shark guy? Is this shark guy the same as King Shark from the Flash drama series? He's got a pretty face, though.
That's David Hayter. If you didn't know that, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
Yeah. David Hayter, I'm pretty sure.
Wait, David Hayter did what?
Did the voice, didn't he, for Shark in something?
No way. David Hayter.
He did. That's why he said it. That's the connection. Why else would he say that?
He was King Shark in the Flash show. I did not realize that.
Which is exactly what Kojima was saying.
Oh, it's probably because I stopped watching Flash after season 3 because it got terrible.
Anyway, yeah, this app, who knows when it's going to be released, but yeah, PT demo August 12th. That'll be my bet.
If Hasan Karaman is going to not only exceed my expectations, but he's going to give me the game of my dreams. And I'm putting all my hope into Hasan Karaman. I believe in you, Hasan.
Someone sent me a message saying they're working on Silent Hill. Like, and it was just a complete random. Like, I can't put any,
Was it Kasan Haraman?
No, it was just a random like burner account. Could be anyone.
Was it Kadeo Hajima?
I will say that. I will put that out there. I don't want to believe it because it could be anyone just trying to work me up.
But then what's with the Solid Snake or Big Boss? Well, I think the picture would have been Solid Snake because Big Boss has his eye patch on his right eye. Solid Snake.
Well, working on MGS remake. We know that.
Yes. And you know what I always thought, like Blue Box and then Blue Point, like maybe they're like teasing, they're like, it's like a separate studio for me. I don't know. Like, you know, it could be like part of like the Blue Point reveal. Remember the botched reveal that they didn't do? So like Blue Point saying Blue Box and like this is dedicated for Metal Gear Solid and like Konami.
I don't remember. Konami last time studio. Kojima did the studio thing, did it all connect to Death Stranding in the end? Everything he talked about? Or was it Metal Gear? Sorry.
Yeah, Metal Gear 5 when he did Moby Dick Studios.
Yeah, that was
Moby Dick Studios.
So that did that all connect to Metal Gear 5 in the end?
Yeah, because Moby Dick, the story of Moby Dick was essentially like a lot to do with Metal Gear Solid 5. So like revenge and the white whale and all that. So
it did. That's the only thing that points to Metal Gear though. That backdrop with the eye patch. Nothing else really pointed to Metal Gear.
Yeah, but then nothing has really pointed to Silent Hill except...
Oh, S&L. No.
Yeah, you're right, actually. If you look at the conspiracy, you're right.
Yeah, there is that.
Maybe Solid Snake in Silent Hill. You never know.
Maybe. I'm trying to find that tweet that Kojima put out, and it was him just being like, I make good trailers.
Every other year he says it.
I'm trying to find it. It was the funniest tweet ever. I'm going to keep scrolling until I find it.
Next story. PlayStation helped Sony beat its record Q1 profits. Financial earnings report. The company's operating profit rose to $2.57 billion USD, a 26% rise year on year, and a record for the quarter. And this also ties into the other story of that they aim to sell another 12 million units this year and towards March 2022. So the next, 6-7 months, whatever it is?
I think it's super interesting. Like when you look at the difference, obviously gaming has gone up in COVID. It's probably one of the few studios or few industries that have actually thrived in the COVID environment. And I think it's so interesting that if you compare Sony and Microsoft, because with Sony, a lot of their profits and sales actually relies on the PlayStation and their gaming sector. But with Microsoft, it's completely the other way around. Like, it's obviously their software sales in terms of Windows and Microsoft Surface laptops. And I mean, I know Sony have laptops as well, but yeah, it's just funny how diametrically opposed they are in their business structure.
You want to hear this?
Yeah.
63 million games were sold in this quarter. 10 million first party games. 71% of those games were digital.
I honestly think the only reason physical copies of games will still exist is because of the international people like us. Because right now, the digital marketplace and the physical marketplace in America, correct me if I'm wrong, the prices are the same or pretty similar. In Australia, and I'm speaking for Australia, but I know in other countries, the prices are vastly different. For instance, you have a game that can cost $30 to $40 more on average, you know, than in store. I can buy a game for $70, or this is back in PS4. Now I can $70 Australian dollars. I can buy a game. The same game on the PlayStation Store would either be $99 or $109. So that's the difference, and that's why for me, $30 is far too much of a price for convenience of a digital. I'll go to the store 100%. And buy it every day of the week. So, you know, that's the reason I think that digital hasn't wholly taken over the physical media industry, because of the prices in the PlayStation Store that they have for foreign countries. I don't know why it's like that, but yeah.
Yeah, and like, obviously, like our prices are slightly inflated. Like, well, no, but they are inflated. But you've also got to take into account like conversion, everything like that. But what you're saying is still true, Vic. Like, we like to buy a game brand new on the store as it comes out is just far too expensive. There's just like I would never ever do that, even if I was desperate to play it. Maybe if I was really desperate to play it and like we're in lockdown or something and you can't go to the store, maybe. But even then, buy it online, get it delivered. Like,
and it's so weird because like physical copies, digital copies would be way cheaper if you think about it to distribute.
Because 100% should be.
A physical copy, you need distribution, you need transport, you need retail printing. You need
to like,
you need
all
to,
this sort of stuff.
Obviously, you're selling to third-party retailers as well. There's going to be a fee there.
Sony take a cut, remember?
I agree, but
on digital,
still, like they're selling it on their own.
Wasn't that 30% they take? Could be more, actually. So it might work out to being similar.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. I forgot about that. Forgot about them having to take a cut.
I don't know. I don't know how the inner workings of it all, but it probably ends up being similar. But I would say digital is still cheaper, for sure.
Digital should be cheaper still. Like it still should be cheaper.
Yeah, I think
even with Sony taking a cut,
I believe the more units sold, the less they take. I think that was what the percentage goes down from memory. Oh, okay. I could be wrong about that. I'll have to do some research. We'll come back next week. But
yeah,
the PS5 is about to outsell the Vita.
Yeah, and the,
isn't that crazy?
There was something else that was about to outsell. Was it the GameCube?
The Wii U.
They did that. But the Wii U was only on 10 mil, wasn't it?
13. It's close. It's nearly there. Okay. Yeah. And
can I just say, like, that's ambitious to say you want to sell another, you want to sell like what you've already sold again, like again in the next, what was the time?
Yeah, the same time for by March 2022, another 12 mil.
Oh, okay.
They've done 10 so far.
So they want to sell another 12. Like, yeah.
With Christmas involved and those big games at the end.
And if they reckon they've gotten over like the, you know, the impact of the semiconductor shortage, like absolutely. I just a little caveat I would like to put out. I still don't know a person in my circle or my wider circle who owns a Series X or Series S.
Besides me. You always forget me, Jordan.
Okay, besides you. Okay. Did you buy yours?
Okay, next story. Next story, the PS Vita, sorry, PSVR 2. They're focusing on AAA console quality AAA games for PSVR 2, PlayStation, a new report. And they're going to have to, aren't they? Because that's the only way we're going to get involved.
And I'm so excited about those controllers. Those controllers look so good. I don't know if you all at home have seen those controllers, but they're not the Move ones anymore. They are like the, is it the Valve Index that has the similar controllers? It's one of those.
When do you think we're going to get our hands on that? Because me and Vike were one of the first to play VR.
We were one of the first. Didn't you? Yeah. So
that was years ago.
You're an esteemed company, Jords.
I reckon.
What did you also play, Vike? The shark one?
No, I played London Heist.
Oh, I played the shark. Yeah.
We were also for a good 2 days developers at Ghost Studios, Need for Speed developers. The VR, there's a few interesting things that this report, I guess. Well, we'll go on to that from this, but there was a report basically from The Verge. They came out with an article, and I think there's a YouTube channel called PSVR Without Parole. It's a really interesting video. So they were talking about the sort of confirmation of some features that have been reported. And some of these were very interesting. So I'll list them out now. Apparently, they'll publicly announce the next-gen PSVR in February and detail the features of its new controllers. And the Upload VR has reported possible specs. These are some of the specs. The next-gen PSVR connects to a PlayStation console through a single cable, so no pass-through box will be necessary. Which I think is a huge win. Kind of want a wireless, but definitely one wire I can live with. The headset will feature higher resolution OLED display, so offer 2000 by 2040 pixel per eye for a total 4K resolution with an improved 110 degree field of view. So 10 degrees wider than PSVR. Now, this was also
110.
I think like when
field of view.
Yeah, I think also like a wider field of view. We only had 100 degree field of view. When you're looking at something, you can only see 100 degrees. Okay. And you have to like
move. Is that the same comparison as a Warzone, you know, changing the slider to 120?
I don't think, FOV. Yeah, I mean, yes. Yeah, because you're obviously like, think about like a Metal Gear Solid enemy cone or vision. It's like you're widening that cone.
Yeah. In my head, when you said that, Vike, I was like, but it's 360 because you can turn your head around in VR. And
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh, wait, no, I get what you're saying.
What you can see in one instance, one single instance without turning your head. Yeah. Sony reportedly plans to use flexible scaling resolution in conjunction with foveated rendering enabled by eye tracking. So to allow the device to only render what you're actually looking at. So it'll track your eye in your field of view and render what you're looking at.
Well, Horizon does that.
Yeah. But this is more actually what your eyes are physically looking at in the image. It'll render that. So I'm assuming things in your periphery, because in that 110 degrees, you might not be looking at everything.
Motion blurred. That wouldn't work, would it?
Well, it's obviously what your eyes are focusing on. So your periphery wouldn't even detect that. Does that make sense? Yes, we have 180. We technically, if you think about it, like have almost 180 degree field of view as real life humans, but we don't really see the outer edges, so they don't need to be rendered in. They can be maybe. So what they're saying is
that setting off with my eyes.
Yeah, that will reduce the strain of the PSVR and PS5 and improve performance. The other thing about the 4K resolution, the problem that a lot of people had with the VR was blurry. You know, it felt that. You couldn't really feel as fully clear and blurry. So 4K in VR is trying to answer that beautifully. Sony will reportedly use inside-out tracking for the next-gen VR, and the company says the device's controllers will have Jordan's favorite adaptive triggers, haptic feedback, touch-sensitive buttons. So touch-sensitive, so you don't need to click it, I'm assuming. And reportedly the ability to sense the distance between your fingers and the device. So maybe something there with the hands. So I think it's going to turn out really good. Now, a lot of these VR features, you know, they're in the Oculus and the Oculus Quest 2 and the Valve and stuff, but I think it's a really, really big step and a necessary step. If you remember, PlayStation VR is the best-selling VR product of all time. Like, the best-selling VR is PSVR by far. So got to put some respect on its name. And I think that... these features are very necessary. You know, people had a lot of complaints about the the clarity of it, they've answered that. The wire thing, I wanted wireless. They've put one wire. You know, the haptic and the controller. I thought the Move controller using a PS3 peripheral for a VR was so stupid. And now they're developing an actual... And now they're actually developing a controller for that with haptics and all that, tracking your fingers and things. So, pretty cool.
It's a double-edged sword, having the story saying that they want some AAA quality games, because, you know, let's say that there's a God of War-style game or an Uncharted. We're going to think to ourselves, oh, if only they put the resources into an actual, a non-VR game. Do you know what I mean?
I see what you're saying, and that's why I loved Resi 7. I'm going to have that
in back of my head, unfortunately.
That's why I liked Resi 7. They said Resi 7 is fully playable from the ground up VR.
That's the best VR game, nearly, or one of the top three.
See, this but is you, why sorry if I go.
Well, you didn't need to play that VR. So, like, if you had your theoretical Uncharted,
Uncharted
probably wouldn't work, but you could have the best of both worlds.
You'd have to be a first person, wouldn't it?
VR games will inherently probably have to be first person. Well, the Astrobot, but I don't think you play Uncharted like that.
See, my thing would be, I think they should not expand upon existing IP. Don't do just like, oh, Uncharted 5 is VR only, or, you know, whatever they're going to do. I think you need to either use an existing IP that's not a video game IP, just like Iron Man. Like, Iron Man is a fantastic VR game, and it works exactly as you think, like, you think it would work. I also think that, like, we need to move a little bit away from first-person VR games, because we're not used to playing games like that where you need to be standing up. Or, you know, I know you can play them sitting down, but, like, where you're being really active and stuff, it's not what people want to do. People want to come home and sit down and, you know, relax and play a game. And if you're playing a game like Astrobot, which is sit down, you know, you move your head around, you look while you play, your controller can form a bit of the game as well. It makes it so much easier for, like, you know, the casual gamer to sit down and play it. I think that's where they need to go. Like, first person VR will still have its place, and there will still be great games that come out that are first person. But I don't think blockbuster games are necessarily going to be in first person. That's just my take.
I know, like, not every first party Sony studio has VR equipped or equipped with the talent and the resources probably to make a VR. But let's say that they are. How good would it be? Because a lot of these teams have two or three teams. A lot of these studios have two or three teams within them. How cool would it be if a lot of them would go, like, here's Uncharted 5, but also as a side story, Uncharted VR. Or, you know, here's, and it's a separate title. It's like, or you can just say, look, we're working on an Uncharted VR with a separate story, sort of like how Lost Legacy was, but like in like that side story content, but in VR. So that way people are still happy that they get the main game, but you get this cool fleshed out AAA side content, because I would call Lost Legacy a AAA side content, or your Miles Morales Miles Morales is a bit more than side content. But if you get with those standalone sort of DLC type things, how good would it be if those were VR? That's the AAA you need. You don't need some 40-hour, 30-hour, 20-hour big linear campaign. You need AAA budget, but you need those like 5 to 10-hour experiences.
And I can imagine like the Uncharted coming out and it has a name that references VR, but like is ambiguous and doesn't reference VR. Like it would be like Uncharted Lost Vision or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, guys, do you want to know the best-selling VR game of all time? Give me your prediction.
I know this. It's like by a mile. It's not Job Simulator. It's not. Right,
I'll tell you.
Beat Saber?
At number 5, Job Simulator. At number 4, Boneworks VR on Steam. Number 3, Super Hot VR, PlayStation and Steam, Quest, etc. 2nd, Half-Life Alyx.
I was going to say Half-Life Alyx. I forgot about that. Was my first one.
And number 1, Beat Saber.
Beat Saber.
There you go.
That's a very, you know, that's not a story-driven game. That's just fun.
And you know, Beat Saber is first person, it's not emulating a first person shooter. It is like a first person game where you're standing there and things are coming at you. instead of.
And that's my favorite VR game, actually. Beat Saber, for sure. Mm. The most fun.
I really want to play Half-Life Alyx.
Half-Life Alyx might be the best story-driven VR game there is, yeah.
If I was going to make a prediction, I would say that I think, and I would bet, that Sony is doing what it can to try and get Half-Life Alyx as a launch title for PSVR 2.
That would, I don't know, Valve just seem to do whatever the hell they want. That's what Valve does.
Mm.
You could Remember be honest with
like, me. But like Half-Life 2 came to PS3.
Well, they got super hot at number 3 here, so it must be a sequel in the works.
Super hot. Sure. Phenomenal.
Because that also sold well just as a normal game.
Mm.
So yeah. They did really well out of that. That was an indie studio, I thought. Those guys. Firewall Zero is 10th on the list as well. Just
0 hour.
Yeah, zero hour.
I wasn't. I really wanted to like that. Like I tried a lot. That
Do you
game.
Think because it came with the shooting?
No, I didn't mind the light gun. It was more the movement was so weird. Like they didn't nail it. Like they didn't nail.
Oh, I think it's too hard to nail. I think that's the problem.
I think there is a way.
I don't put it against them.
You got to realize like gamers are intuitive. Like, yes, make the controls hard, but give us enough time, we'll pick it up. So I feel like they're trying too hard to make it too easy, and then that they screw it up. And
the gamers can pick it up, but there's things about VR that like your body is just not used to. I've basically been okay with every VR game, with the exception of two. And that was Iron Man, which actually made me really, really sick. Like I was like, I had a headache for like 3 hours after that.
Really?
And Scavenger's Odyssey on the PSVR World.
Oh, that was shocking.
That made me so sick.
What was Scavenger's Odyssey? Bad. I'm trying to remember that one.
I can't even tell you because I played the first 5 minutes and had to stop.
Oh, that was shocking.
So sick.
I was about to say that. That was my number one.
Oh, yeah. That was shocking.
And what about...
I think like Res Infinite was Res Infinite?
Is it Rift Tower? What's the one?
Riggs. The jumping in Riggs. Oh no.
If that was a normal PSN style game like a Rocket League, it might have taken off. It might have taken off.
But you know what? Funnily, it's so weird how things make you feel. Because you know what? Funnily enough, didn't make me feel sick. Drive Club VR.
Yeah, me too. Yeah.
I was fine playing that, but oh my god, Scavenger's Odyssey. Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that was shocking.
That was so bad.
And when you have that bad experience after 30 minutes, you don't want to push through, you know.
I never tried it again. I was like, nope. Whole lot of no.
It's almost like, nah, I'm not going back to this.
Yeah.
Now Sony also acquired Crunchyroll, is that right, Vi?
Yes, they just acquired Crunchyroll.
They did.
No. So it's like finalized. It's gone through.
Oh, okay.
So basically,
they own Funimation and Crunchyroll. So yeah. They're the two biggest anime services.
What's so weird is like Funimation, I feel like there's not much of a library there. Like I was on Funimation the other day to watch the Demon Slayer movie, and I was like looking through the library and there wasn't much there. But I don't know. Maybe I'm speaking heresy here, but Crunchyroll seems to have everything I ever wanted. So I think Crunchyroll is a big one.
How much is Crunchyroll cost per month?
Oh, per month? I'm not too sure.
Isn't there a free version?
Account. Yeah, I mean, you can get it for free, and it's just like you have to watch Japanese, which everyone does anyway. And I think like the quality is like 480p, which and there's ads. Like I think that's pretty good. But yeah, so now what the rumor is that they're going to bundle PS Plus and we're going to have another tier with Crunchyroll subscription and Funimation or whatever anime subscription they do. Yeah. And I'm thinking that's pretty good. And we've been talking about the tiered system, especially in terms of if they ever do a Games Pass or PS Now or things like that. I think having
Maybe
this sort
they
of
have
tier
one
system,
with Netflix as well.
Yeah. I think having a tier system is necessary for the variety of products that they can offer, whether that be anime in Crunchyroll, that can be cloud gaming in PS Now, whether it be streaming videos in Netflix. So, I think that's really cool.
How much is Crunchyroll a month? Sorry.
Let me have a look.
I want to say it's $19 Australian.
Because if they're going to bundle it, it needs to be cheaper, because otherwise you'd like, what's the point?
Well, I mean, if you're putting it on top of PS Plus, yes, it needs to be cheaper. It's $10 a month.
Australian.
But for, $10 Australian. Yeah. But for surely 12 go, months.
Surely they'd go 5 months. $5 extra a month. Done.
Mm, yeah. Maybe even a couple dollars. But yeah, for 12 months, it's $100 flat. So it's not too bad.
Oh, no, so that's, isn't that like, so 12 months is $100. Isn't that like $8?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, obviously better if you get the yearly one.
Yeah. Oh, right. Sorry. But, yes, I get what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's interesting because they also have a lot of manga as well. Like, I know people probably don't use Crunchyroll. Maybe they do to read the manga. But yeah, I mean, they've got a plethora of anime on there.
Currently, they only have 5 million subscribers, but 120 million registered users.
Surely it's the library they're after, not the user base. It'd be the library of content.
Oh, man. They have every good anime on there.
Mm.
Everything.
But that doesn't mean they get the rights to those animes.
No, but they have the right to stream it. Like, it's not the intellectual property. It's the fact that...
Yeah, they can't just take it over. Yeah, they can't just take it over and put it on Funimation now.
Netflix are doing a few animes that aren't too bad.
I was about to say, and if they got in bed with Netflix as well... Because Netflix has a few big anime as well, like Beastars, Demon Slayers on there.
Mm.
So
they know it's an increasing market.
Anime. I mean, obviously, Seven Deadly Sins, I think, was their best one. Maybe?
Was that an original one? Oh, no, it was based on a manga, but it was like...
I think that was Netflix original.
Really?
I am actually not a fan of Seven Deadly Sins, but they did the Dota anime, Castlevania, which was really good. Everyone...
You're talking about Netflix now.
Yeah, so we're talking about it. Yeah. But Crunchyroll have everything.
Yeah. Now, some news in Australia. The PAX Oz was cancelled due to COVID.
Are we surprised?
I mean, it's a sad reality for a lot of these.
Yeah. Like, it's 2 years in a row now. I'm just not surprised.
You know? 2 years in a row. That's why I didn't even look at purchasing the tickets. I knew this would happen. I just knew. I didn't get any hype for it,
Yeah, no, I'm not. I'm definitely someone who's like, don't book a holiday, don't book anything really, because it's probably going to get cancelled because of the state of, the world right now. And yeah, unfortunately, this is one of the consequences of that. So,
and I wouldn't even book it next year.
I probably wouldn't look to. I probably wouldn't get too excited either,
which is very annoying. But
Don't get me wrong, it's very sad, but I'm just not surprised.
Yeah. Did you guys jump into Fortnite last weekend?
actually,
let's see the Ariana Grande performance, baby, over on Fortnite.
Wow.
I mean, it's obviously trying to top the Travis Scott.
I watched it.
Wait, the Ariana or Travis?
Yeah, I've watched them all. I watch them on YouTube. I don't go in and participate.
I mean, I like what she said. You can let me enjoy a concert without the social anxiety. And I'm like, that's pretty cool. It reminds me of do you guys know Hatsune Miku? Do you guys know who that is? It's like this Japanese idol or singer, but she's purely digital. So all the shows, she's an animated character, but she sings songs.
I don't understand personally. That's cool. The appeal to it.
But yeah. I mean, she is basically an artist. And she produces music or
but it's a bit music, weird for me because
it's someone behind it that's making the music.
That's what I mean. It's an interesting concept.
That's cool.
I think it's cool. That's awesome. Yeah. And I think it's cool to have more digital content aside from games. I feel like there's a real big market that's untapped. I think VR also can really play a big role. Like I said before to you guys, my dream would be World Cup final, stick one camera box and be VR, you can be in the crowd, just pay $150 to get a VR seats. And you just wear your headset, you're watching the game live, things like that would be sick. But I just love digital content in this in games. And it's so funny because Fortnite is on on the decline, right? And they're getting Ariana Grande. Warzone, on the other hand, have this entire fan base and all we've got is a bloody train. It's all we've got. One train and one building.
And the satellites and a red doors.
We've just got,
satellites say, are useless. There's
we've just got nothing. Train going around the map singing Drops of Jupiter.
Yeah, it's pathetic.
Was that even Train? Or was that Alex Lloyd?
No, that's not Train, bro. I think you stuffed that one up. It's still a funny joke. Now, speaking of Warzone, there's been a battle going on at the moment. I don't know if you guys have seen Apex Legends and Warzone. Because Warzone's just failing everyone right now, all the big streamers have left Warzone. We're talking Nick Merckx, Tim the Tapman, Dr. Disrespect. These are big names. And they're all going to Apex. And Tim the Tapman actually had more viewers on his stream than the Warzone, everyone in Warzone. So more watching
Twitch streams in Warzone. That does not surprise me. More people watching him, yeah.
That's bad.
Drops of Jupiter was by Train.
Oh, there you go. Nice.
Wait, is the band Train? Didn't they do Soul Sister? Hey, Soul Sister. No. Anyway.
Yes, they did.
Yes.
I don't want to miss a single word.
I just think like with Warzone, like it needs to be in a bad state, fortunately, because that's the only way they're going to listen is that if they're losing money. So it just needs to go to this dire state for them to actually kick their ass in a gear.
Now, will the battle pass get record low numbers of sales?
I hope so.
Surely it has to.
I kind of hope so, because they don't deserve the goodwill that they've got, the way they're treating their customers. But anyway. Yeah. I mean, I'm coming from a first world privileged gamer, but still, that's who you're advertising to. So we have expectations.
Played Apex. I've never played it, but I'm actually gonna play it tonight. I've downloaded it. I'm gonna drop in for the first time.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued as well. I would like
if you want to join me, guys, feel free. Feel free.
Yeah, let me know.
Because I just want to dabble in, you know, just see what it's all about.
I'm also like, I know we haven't spoken about it on the podcast, not because like we're afraid to talk about it, but just because everywhere has been reporting about it, all the stuff that's been going on at Activision.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all just piling on there. So,
we try to keep the show a bit light.
Yeah.
You know, unless there's plenty of other.
Kyle.
Yeah, but that's all fun and game. Yeah,
we're not trying to defend them or miss. Like, we think what it's horrible, like absolutely abhorrent what they're doing. But obviously there's plenty of other news sources that cover it better than us.
I don't really know the full story. I probably should.
It's really bad. When you hear about the Bill Cosby room and all that, it just gets real messed up.
Yeah. Oh, we didn't know what he did. Oh, get out.
And the texts and stuff, like,
oh, it's so bad.
Anyway, we won't dive in, but I do agree with Jordan. Like the whole thing of like Activision as well, like, and the name obviously getting dragged through the mud. Like, will that affect Warzone as well? Like,
it's definitely just, I think it's leaving an even worse taste in people's mouths.
This, that being said, Call of Duty is the most casually appealing game there is. They don't even know who developed it. No one, like the average COD gamer, does not know who developed what studio is, they developed, who Activision is. They don't know that.
That's what I mean. So it's not really going to affect that. What's the bet that this month COD is the best selling game? You know, it's sort of depressing in a way. It's just got such a big name, brand value. But I'm going to drop into Apex, but this goes on to the next story. Dr. Disrespect is starting up his own game studio. Now, he plays COD, he plays Warzone, he plays BRs. He's actually making his own BR. He actually worked for Call of Duty as a map designer, so he does have some credibility as well. And I just thought I'd throw this story in because he's always complaining about the state of the BRs and some in the game industry. So now he's throwing
Is it going to be a cheat on your wife simulator?
Wait, did he cheat on his wife? Is that what happened?
Yeah, more than
is
once,
that why he got dropped from Twitch?
No, he got. They don't know why he got dropped from Twitch, but he cheated on his wife more than once, I think.
So it'll be like developed.
You don't call yourself Dr. Disrespect for nothing.
Yeah,
it'll be developed in partnership with a select list of mega influencers.
Oh, dude, influencers, not developers.
That's the problem to me. These influencers they can complain, and I'd be the same. But if I went in and then had to make a game, it's a completely different thing.
Mm.
You know, it's, you've got great ideas, but putting them together is another thing, and making it all work and balancing.
There's so much more that goes into it than just, like, you know, a story in that. There's like legitimate coding and things that need to go in there.
I mean, they'll hire a team to do that, but it's like, yeah, the influencers, I mean, will be like a director of money behind them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to hire the right people. Like, you can't just hire a bunch of influencers and be like, let's make a game.
That's what he's doing. He's hiring a studio head and co-founder. That's where this story came from. And he's leaked some sort of key art as well. So I'm sure it's miles away, years away.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, keep an eye on that. Keep an eye on that. Ghost of Tsushima Director's Cut out next week.
Yes.
And it will have new Legends content. You were right, Jordan.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah, that's exciting. Not for me. Like, I'm not going to play it, but like, for the people who love Legends, like, that's good for them.
Like me.
Yeah.
And a new game mode called Rivals that will bring new trophies and cosmetics. Yeah, Rivals. Yeah, two teams will compete to defeat waves of enemies. Defeating foes will earn you Magatama, which you can use to harm the other team. Oh, me and Vic are going to flog Jerome. And
I know.
We're never going to be on the same team, man. they're not listening. It's all good. They're not listening this far.
Mitch listens every week. I'm
he's not
sure.
listening.
He
this
does.
Far.
He's a few weeks behind though, because sometimes we message you and be like, "Oh my god, it's so good that Kyle was on." I'm like, "Mate, that was a month ago."
Well, we'll find out if he messages me saying you're a little shit.
Yeah, I'll bet that. I'll let you know at Christmas time when Mitch messages me.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to that raid mode, and I'll dabble into the PS5 version just to see what it's like. We get the platinum.
I'm definitely going to play through that Eki content. Like, I'm
excited
to
we'll play through
that.
The Eki content. I'm just, And it's not on the top of my list to do, of things to do. Back for Blood, none of us got a chance to play this game. The Left 4 Dead spiritual success out of beta. And from what I've heard, mixed reviews. Some people are saying it was fun, and then other people are like, yeah, it's a very outdated game. And more the people I trust are saying it's outdated and not giving a good rap. And these other people, they seem to be sponsored by WB, you know. So they've just had a sponsored stream. So very, you know, you can't really trust them. Didn't appeal to me as zombie.
Take
game
it with
like
a grain of salt or two.
Yeah, exactly. It just didn't appeal to me playing zombies this weekend. I don't know. I'm just a bit over it.
Is the magic gone from zombie games like that, do you think?
I think so.
I definitely think so. When I look at, like, I never played Left 4 Dead and I haven't played Back 4 Blood, but I remember when Zombies was announced for Cold War, I was so excited. And I haven't played it. I just privately sold my copy of Cold War, and I have no intention of, like, even looking at Zombies.
I go back and forth on Zombies. Because Dying Light looks interesting. Dying Light 2.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not just zombies, that game. There's a lot of more layers to that game than just it's zombies. This is literally four-player zombies taking on zombies, and that's it. You know? So me and Vic were going to run through it, but we just never got time and just didn't end up doing it. They're doing another open access this weekend. Maybe we get involved. Next story. Now, this is a bit of an old one. I don't know if we've mentioned this before. You know, Razer, the company Razer, mount, keyboards, mouse. They actually were working on a RGB face mask.
It looks so cool.
This came out in March. They revealed this. And everyone's like, you're a bit late. But now we're like, this might actually be all right. We're still using masks. So, you know, they actually might have come up with something cool here. And there's some interesting technology.
It has a surgical N95 respirator, has high fluid resistance and to protect against splashes. It also uses voice amp technology, it says, to ensure that your speech isn't muffled via its inbuilt mic and amplifier.
This could actually be huge for them.
And it's transparent.
I was thinking this could be a huge moneymaker for them. Like, this could be big.
Depending on the price.
Well, people will pay it.
Project Hazel. That's nuts.
Project Hazel, the world's smartest mask. They were quick to get this done.
One of the top comments. I'd rather not publicly show people that I'm a virgin, but each to their own.
I don't know, man. I think it could take off. We'll see.
I think it's super stylish. If anyone remembers like Will I Am, he like released some super like stylish slick face mask. I'm like, no one has capitalized on the stylish face masks, you know, with like technology and like respirators.
In terms of technology, Culture Kings did with like in terms of design and just having like
designs for their face masks. But in terms of technology, no. Yeah. I'm like, dude, because that Razor mask, I would wear that. Like that looks sick to me.
Jordan will be happy with this. South Park new game in the works now.
South Park's popping off. Can you believe that? Like South Park is still as popular and is still making as much money and has the same cachet that it did like 20 years ago that it does now, because there's this news. And then they also signed on for like 14 movies with like one of the, whoever they're with in America.
Paramount Plus, a new streaming service.
Along with like another 7 seasons of the show or something like that. Like
$900 million deal.
That's crazy.
14 movies. A game or two, and of course, a couple of seasons of the show, and are all going to be on Paramount Plus, the movie and the TV stuff.
I have barely watched the show, but man, I loved the two games.
People say they did really well out of that 900 million. Like, is it worth that? But the amount of subscribers I think they'll get on Paramount Plus that love South Park, because there's no other way to watch it, they'll probably make it back in some way or another. Mm. I looked at Paramount Plus. They don't have much content at the moment, like a Mark Wahlberg movie and a couple other things. Pretty lackluster.
No. Why'd you say that, Dan?
Oh, shit.
Is that a Transformer? I'm an inventor.
But we don't know if this is a Ubisoft game. But they actually did well, Ubi, with the last two South Park games, so I wouldn't mind. But it looks like it's going to be something different than the last two.
They said it's going to be fully 3D.
Fully 3D, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, so they've said it's fully 3D, and yeah, that's pretty much all they've really said.
We need Simpsons Hit and Run, but South Park.
Oh, man. I want Simpsons Hit and Run.
Oh, Simpsons Hit and Run remaster, man. I mean, that's going to sell 10 million.
Yeah.
Seriously.
I hope that happens.
Everyone will buy that. Seriously.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, Games Radar is back with the Futures Game Show, another installment to coincide with Gamescom. When's Gamescom as well? That's happening.
Yeah, so the 26th of August, apparently, the Future Games Show.
Well, when's Gamescom?
That is on? Gamescom. So that,
No, that's a part of it. But when's actual Gamescom on?
With
Jeff Keighley.
That's...
The 25th, is it? Yeah, the 25th. Yeah.
So okay, the 26th is Future Game Show with Aaron LaPlante.
Who's the Plante. Duke in the village?
Yeah.
Resident Evil Village.
And Maggie Robertson will be hosting with him.
A couple of good interviews online you can find of those two. Don't know.
Anil and Gaming.
Some mug did it. They're hosting. Good on them. No, good on
them. Yeah. And so maybe some good content you'll see there. I think we haven't had a game show in a while.
What are they going to show?
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know what else.
Hassan Karaman will come out on stage.
It's a one man show.
You never know, man. You never know. That'd be incredible. Oh, far out.
I'm real. Dun, 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 dun. And then, like, the next Metal Gear gets released.
Now, Avengers, Marvel's Avengers game, the expansion. Who's dropping in? Black Panther.
Ah, yeah, nice. All 6 people.
Yeah.
You're not in? Not in?
And all 6 of them are probably sponsored.
Well, Christopher Judge is voicing T'Challa. Read it, boy.
I wish I was interested in it, but I'm just not.
Yeah,
it's a free update. That's one good
thing. And Marvel What Ifs. See, can I be honest? They've actually timed it super well because Marvel What Ifs comes out today. like it starts today. They've actually timed it super well.
I'm so keen for What If.
Oh, mate, same. I wish I had the same level of enthusiasm for Marvel's Avengers that I do Marvel's What If, but...
If it was a good game, then I would be keen, but...
Yeah. I still can't believe they made it harder level up and they thought that'd be a good idea.
So August 17th, this expansion is coming out.
I reckon they timed it super well. I don't know what episode for What If it is today, but if like it was the T'Challa was Star-Lord episode, like that would be perfect.
If I was them, I would have timed it with a new movie and had what's the next Marvel show coming out? Is it Hawkeye?
Well, no, it's What If that's happening now.
No, after What If.
Oh, Hawkeye maybe?
I think possibly Hawkeye.
Possibly Hawkeye. Yeah. I would have had a Hawkeye DLC. I would coincide with them like that.
Well, Hawkeye's already out. I know.
I know. He's already out.
Okay. What do you mean he's already out? The most important question we should be asking is,
Where's Spider-Man? Spider-Man is a menace. Is it going to be? If I was them, I'd be working on a DLC of that to come out with the movie at the end of the year.
Maybe when that trailer
Do you remember when everyone was chucking up a fuss, and not unrightfully so in some ways, about Spider-Man only coming to PS5 or PlayStation as a DLC? Yeah. And like,
don't worry, he's coming to PS5.
Don't worry, mate. No one's playing the game by the time he's coming out. So that whole drama was for nothing because all seven people won't be playing, you know.
Now, are they going to look at the fan base here, and if they don't come back, they'll give up after this?
I don't think so. Yeah. There must still be a fan base there. Otherwise, they would have stopped. Like, look at Anthem. They stopped.
Oh, Anthem was a disaster.
The fan base just obviously isn't us.
Anthem was an absolute disaster. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, and the final story, Hellblade. It's not coming out on PS5. The next-gen update. They're skipping, which to me, you guys are a bit like, oh, wow. But I thought, well, you know, it makes sense now that they own the studio. Well, they're not going to put it on Xbox, are they?
To me, it makes sense. Yeah. It's a very PlayStation move, but I think it's a very good business move. But it does suck, like ray tracing, high frame rate, resolution boost. Like, I thought, like, Hellblade was a beautiful game. What I would do to play that game again for the first time. It was a really, really good short game. So much fun. So interesting. Gripping. Combat was phenomenal.
Great
I loved
sound
it.
Design.
Great sound design, yeah, can't forget that. And
I've still got the voice in my head. So.
Yeah, the whispers.
Sacrifice for the PS5 Central podcast.
I think it's pretty smart that they're doing that, and it's something we're going to expect. I love how Phil, one of the top comment is, but cuddly Uncle Phil said games were for everybody. Sad
face. In my head, when the story came up, I was like,
but the game's still on PS. It's still on.
It is. But I love Xbox. Phil's really trying hard to like be sound inclusive, but have exclusives. So,
Starf,
I don't know.
Starfield's not coming on PS5.
Mm-hmm. I don't think it is. Is that confirmed?
They already said that. It's
not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think this is a smart move by Xbox. I think Hellblade's a phenomenal IP. Good to protect it, have benefits to come on for the Xbox, you know? So I think something that could bolster their library, I really think so.
By the way, Dying Light 2, I reckon it's coming because I've seen a lot of marketing for it in terms of, you guys don't? Well, I'm seeing a lot of marketing and they're not going to pour money, thousands
I'm
of dollars.
I'm seeing a lot of marketing for Abandoned, and I haven't seen that either.
That's organic marketing. This is paid search marketing for Dying Light 2 that I'm seeing. Pre-order stuff, and I don't know if they'd do that if they weren't confident. They already delayed it. Like
I'm confident that it'll be delayed.
But they've already delayed it so many times.
What's another delay, mates?
They've been working on it for years.
Hashtag years don't be cyberpunk.
I know they've been working on it for years, and I understand. But
they had the engine from Dying Light 1 as well. They have similar engine, similar stuff.
There's been problems with this game, man. There's been problems with this game.
I know there's problems. It still looks buggy, but I think they're just going to launch it with some bugs.
There is some Dying Light 2 news. Apparently, Dying Light 2 will offer the choice of ray tracing or 60 FPS with VR on PS5 and Xbox. VRR. I'm trying to remember what that is.
Variable rate or something.
Yeah, variable refresh rate. Yeah. So That'd be interesting. Yeah. So at least there's some news there, Dan. There's some news for you.
There you go. I can't wait for the day when we don't have to choose and we can have both of yeah. ray tracing and 60 FPS. I thought that was what we were supposed to have with this gen, but maybe that's next gen or later towards the end of this gen.
I think later in the gen. It's interesting because Ratchet had 60 FPS pure performance. Then they had 30 FPS pure with ray tracing. And then they had like a middle one where it's like performance with ray tracing.
Hmm.
So that was, I thought that was really cool.
Like, isn't that like FPS plus or something? Is that what Miles had as well?
No, Miles only had, like, you can either have 60 FPS with no ray tracing or 30 FPS with ray tracing from memory. No,
there was a third one that came out for Miles.
It came out later.
Yeah.
I played that at launch. But I like that there's a ray tracing and 60 FPS because 60 FPS makes the game look prettier. I don't know why. It just does. And
see, it just looks better on the eyes.
Yeah, and ray tracing is instantly like makes nice with the reflection. So like that's all I need. Like I know I want the up-res 4K, but it's like the comparative improvement that 60 FPS makes is more, in my opinion, than 4K. And obviously ray tracing I think makes much more as well.
Can I ask you guys just quick a random question before we wrap up? What PS5 game are you most excited for that's not announced?
That's been announced.
So it's also a pipe dream, in a way.
Metal Gear Solid Remake by Hassan Karaman.
Really? That's your number one? Like a 100%. like RE2?
That'd be... Yeah. That'd be a dream.
Jordan? Mine is going to sound a bit silly, but mine would be another Batman game.
Oh, yeah, Arkham.
Yeah, I've been itching for Conroy to come back and just...
Dude, what if they do a Batman game where Batman dies and you play as Robin, Batgirl, Red Hood, and Nightwing?
I'm still excited for that. Don't get me worried. I'm still excited, but yeah, just another Arkham game would be fantastic. But anyway, Jordan,
yeah. I'm going to say... Because my first answer would probably be like another Infamous game, but I don't think we're getting that. So I think my answer would be Bloodborne 2.
Bloodborne 2, yeah, that'll come. That's coming for sure.
Yeah. That might Infamous. Answer, yeah, that. Bloodborne 2.
Man, Infamous would be sick.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And quickly, Deathloop has gone gold. So I wanted to get your Metacritic prediction. And just so you know, I'm in the lead on these predictions, 3-0. So you guys are desperate 84. For points. Jordan's at 84.
Dan Allen Gaming, what do you select?
No, you can go first, mate.
No,
I'm always first, so you can go first.
I'll say 87.
87. Ooh, you've left me at a tough spot here, guys.
You going to go one up or one low?
I don't see it getting 88. I was going to say 84, so I'm going to go 83.
Oh.
Yeah. There we go.
This game could either really flop or really do well, I feel like. If the content is there, I think it's going to do really well. If it turns out to be like a mission you can do in like 10 minutes, because I've never seen a game that hinges its entire game on one mission. It's just one replayable mission. It hinges on that. And the mission is designed such that you could potentially do it in 5 minutes if you know how to do it. So it hinges on the gameplay being good, the loop being good, the discovery being good. It all hinges on one mission and one gameplay premise. Like, I've never seen an all or nothing type game like Deathloop. And it's either really going to do well or it's going to suck. But I think it's
like, surely they know that, though, and surely they've nailed it.
I think it's, I actually think it's very ambitious. Like, I know it's like Arcane and like it's got like the gameplay is nothing new and the blinks and all that. But I think in terms of a premise and the mission design, it is one of the most ambitious games I've seen. And I'm not understating that. Like, I think honestly, it's one of the most ambitious games I've seen.
It seems like it's got like the design is obviously very similar to Dishonored with like how things look, but it's got like that. It's got like the sparkle on it. It's got it like the like the little bit of like spunk it needs to make it a little bit more than just like, because like Dishonored was a little bit boring with its characters. They were very much like, oh, Corvo, good to see you. You're in the boat. Can't believe you did this. And it seems like Deathloop's got that like extra bit of like jazz to make it like just a little bit more out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, guys, last question. Are you going to download Apex Legends?
Not right now, but I could over the weekend.
Yeah, I'll do it over the weekend if you want.
There we go.
I played Apex before.
That was both two very non-committal answers.
Yeah, so it looks like I'll be playing alone. All right, guys, thanks for watching. We appreciate you all. And we're going to see you next week for hopefully later. Some abandoned news.
Later.
See you. And I'll see you
later.
Thanks for stopping by. We'll see you
later.
One more time.
Later. PlayStation.